ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So reading from the fourth chapter, chapter titled Transcendental Knowledge, text number 25. Daivam eva pare yajñam yogina paryupasate brahmagnau apare yajñam yajne naivo pajuvati daiva. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Some yogis perfectly worship the demigods by offering different sacrifices to them, and some offer sacrifices in the fire of the Supreme Brahman. Purport. As described above, a person engaged in discharging duties in Krishna consciousness is also called a perfect yogi or a first-class mystic. But there are others who perform similar sacrifices in the worship of demigods, and still others who sacrifice to the Supreme Brahman or the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord. So there are different kinds of sacrifices in terms of different categories. Such different categories of sacrifice by different types of performers only superficially demark varieties of sacrifice. Factually, sacrifice means to satisfy the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, who is also known as Yajna. All the different varieties of sacrifice can be placed within two primary divisions, namely, sacrifice of worldly possessions and sacrifice in pursuit of transcendental knowledge. Those who are in Krishna consciousness sacrifice all material possessions for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, while others who want some temporary material happiness sacrifice their material possessions to satisfy demigods such as Indra, the sun god, etc. And others who are impersonalists sacrifice their identity by merging into the existence of impersonal Brahman. The demigods are powerful living entities appointed by the Supreme Lord for the maintenance and supervision of all material functions like the heating, watering and lighting of the universe. Those who are interested in material benefits worship the demigods by various sacrifices according to the Vedic rituals. They are called Bah-Ishwara-Vadi or believers in many gods. But others who worship the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth and regard the forms of the demigods as temporary, sacrifice their individual selves in the supreme fire, and thus end their individual existences by merging into the existence of the Supreme. Such impersonalists sacrifice their time in philosophical speculation to understand the transcendental nature of the Supreme. In other words, the fruitive workers sacrifice their material possessions for material enjoyment, whereas the impersonalist sacrifices his material designations with a view to merging into the existence of the Supreme. For the impersonalist, the fire altar of sacrifice is the Supreme Brahman, and thus offering the self being consumed by the fire of the Brahman. And the offering is the self being consumed by the fire of the Brahman. The Krishna conscious person like Arjuna, however, sacrifices everything for the satisfaction of Krishna, and thus all his material possessions as well as his own self, everything is sacrificed for Krishna. Thus he is the first class yogi, but he does not lose his individual existence. Just read the verse once again. Daivam eva pare yajñam yogina paryupasate brahmagnau apare yajñam yajne naivo pajuvati. Some yogis perfectly worship the demigods by offering different sacrifices to them, and some offer sacrifices in the fire of the Supreme Brahman. So I welcome all of you to this evening lecture on the Bhagavad Gita. So we are discussing a very important topic here today. Srila Prabhupada gives a very elaborate purport to this particular verse. And the main theme that Srila Prabhupada is trying to make is that people worship the demigods for material opulences, to try to increase their quality of life in this material world. But we have to understand that this material world is a place which is temporary and which is guaranteed to be one of misery. So trying to make our situation comfortable in this material world is only going to end in frustration. Because if this material world were to be a permanent place, and if we are to be permanently situated over here, then it makes sense for us to try to aspire to have a very high quality of material life, to make our situation as comfortable as possible. But because our duration of life itself is very short, in fact in Kali Yuga the maximum that a person lives is for 100 years. And even then, beyond the age of 60, the quality of his life is very poor. Right? He is afflicted with all sorts of diseases, both physical and mental. So there's hardly any opportunity for him to be able to enjoy what he has accumulated. So an intelligent person questions as to what is the purpose of making so much of endeavor to try to earn so much of material opulences in this material world. And most people, they try to make their situation as comfortable as possible by worshipping the demigods. And the demigods by nature, they are easily pleased. If we sincerely worship them and ask them for material arrangements, then more often than not, they give it to us. But the unfortunate part is that they do not see whether we actually need those material opulences. They give it to us just because we want it. And half the time, or more often than not, what we want is not what we need. Right? Because we have unlimited wants, that is the reason why we are miserable. And so when we approach the demigods to try to satisfy our unlimited wants, if we sincerely appeal to them, then they satisfy those wants. But in several cases, if not all, this only leads to frustration. So the scriptures give us various examples through various people who are worshipping the demigods to show us how such worship of demigods is actually quite meaningless. It could happen that in some cases it is actually contrary to Vedic scriptures. Like we have one example of a person by the name Bhasmasura. Now, Bhasmasura was an asura, he was a demon. But he was so much fixed in his meditation on Lord Shiva that somehow or the other he wanted Lord Shiva to come and fulfill his desire. Now, what exactly was his desire we'll come to in a short time from now. So he was meditating very, very intensely to Lord Shiva to come and fulfill his deepest desire, what was there in his heart. So as he was meditating for several years, he was finding that Lord Shiva was not manifesting in front of him. So he became so frustrated that he built a fire and started cutting off pieces of his body and putting it into that fire. First he cut off his hands, then he cut off his legs. And then when he was about to cut off his head and put it into the fire, at that time Lord Shiva appeared in front of him. So Lord Shiva told him, okay, I'm quite pleased with all your austerities. Tell me, what do you want? Now, after all, this person was an asura and he didn't know what to ask from Lord Shiva. Now, Lord Shiva is the most exalted Vaishnava and he could have asked Lord Shiva to give him pure devotional service. And Lord Shiva would have very, very happily given him pure devotional service because Lord Shiva himself is a servant of Lord Krishna. Lord Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yatam Shambhu. For all the Vaishnavas, he is the topmost, Mahadev. So if Bhasmasura could have asked Shiva to give him pure devotional service, Lord Shiva would have given him pure devotional service. But because this person was an asura, he asked for something which was completely unthinkable. He asked for the benediction that any person whose hand he touches, only any person's head whom he touches, which he touches, should crack into 1,000 pieces. This is the benediction that he asked for. So you can imagine his mentality. It was so horrible and cruel. And Shiva, you know, is Ashutosh. That's another name for Lord Shiva. So he said, Tatastu. And Bhasmasura was so wicked that he told Lord Shiva that all my entire life I have been hankering for the association of your wife Parvati. And you are the person who is coming in my way. So the first person whose head I am going to touch is you. So Lord Shiva became afraid. I mean, this is a pastime just to explain this whole philosophy. Lord Shiva manifested fear and he started running away from Bhasmasura and Bhasmasura started chasing Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was running, Bhasmasura was running behind him and then they ran and ran and ran and ran. And finally Lord Shiva knew that the only person whom he can go to for help is Lord Vishnu. Right? So he went to the abode of Lord Vishnu with Bhasmasura chasing him. And Lord Vishnu could understand that his servant Shiva was coming to him for help. So he immediately took on the form of a small boy. And he stood over there. So Lord Shiva came over there and he saw this small boy. And the small boy did not look at Lord Shiva. He looked at Bhasmasura, who was panting. He was in so much exertion. He had exerted himself so much. So the small boy asked Bhasmasura, where are you going? You seem to be in so much of haste, you're exerting yourself so much, where are you heading for? So then Bhasmasura told the small boy the whole story, said that I had asked Shiva for a benediction, but Shiva gave me this benediction, now I want to touch his head so that I can get his wife Parvati to enjoy. So the small boy laughed and he said, oh, Bhasmasura, you're such a fool. This Shiva, he gives all this benediction, but those benedictions never work. I have myself seen, he's so easy in giving benedictions, but half the time those benedictions don't work. Can somebody please take him? So he said, Lord Shiva is famous for giving benediction, but his benedictions never work. And he said that you should try for yourself before you touch Lord Shiva's head and you find that this benediction that he has given is not working and you'll make a fool of yourself. Why don't you first try putting your hand on your own head and see whether this benediction works? After all, Bhasmasura was a demon. I mean, they don't have much intelligence. So he didn't realize that the boy was actually making a fool of him. So he put his hand on his own head. And we all know what happened. His head cracked into thousands of pieces. And Bhasmasura died. So demons, when they ask for benedictions, invariably they ask for such benedictions which result in their own death. They want to somehow or the other create or get so much of facilities which actually becomes the cause of bondage. They don't realize that whatever I'm asking for, when I go to a demigod and ask him for certain things, may it be a good wife, a good bank balance, a good position in society, to win the elections. That's also something that people pray for. You go to Tirupati and then you pray to the Lord asking to win the elections. Right? Little realizing that it's only for 5 years, and again after 5 years, once again you have to go through the whole process. So what's the purpose? This is Radha Gopinath Bhagwan Ki Jai. So what's the purpose of such a benediction? But still, invariably you'll find immediately after the election, thousands of people go to Tirupati, thousands of people go to Siddhivinayak Temple. And how can it be that the Lord fulfills everybody's desire? From the same constituency, you'll have all the people going to Siddhivinayak Temple. Now, whose desire is the Lord expected to fulfill? Right? The Lord is also put into a dilemma. Everybody goes to Siddhivinayak saying that, you please make me the minister, or you make me get elected. Right? But we understand that this benedictions, even if it is given to us, they are not permanent. They are temporary, because they all are connected with the body. And ultimately, when we leave our body, all these temporary facilities that are given to us by the demigods are also taken away. And similarly, we see Ravana, Hiranyakashipu. These demons, they wanted to live a life of immortality. They never wanted to die. Hiranyakashipu was doing so much of austerities. In fact, he was standing on his toe for 100 celestial years, which is nearly 18,000 years. And his tapasya was so intense, unbelievable tapasya. For us to do tapasya even for one day, can you imagine any of us standing on our toes even for 5 minutes, just on one toe, with your hand raised up to the sky and looking at the sun? Right? This was the tapasya that Hiranyakashipu did for 100 celestial years. Not moving. And during that period, his whole body was eaten by ants. There was an anthill which completely covered his body. But his tapasya was so intense that the whole universe became covered by smoke and people could not even breathe. And finally, Brahma had to come and sprinkle water on him, and he regained his body with so much more strength. His body became lustrous. So then Brahmaji asked him, okay, now you have pleased me, tell me, what do you want? So Hiranyakashipu told Brahma that, I want to become immortal. So basic desire in each and every one of us is to become immortal. None of us want to die. Right? Who wants to die? Everybody is trying their level best to somehow or the other create a situation where we never have to think about death. In fact, it is considered to be inauspicious to even talk about death. Ashubh. Don't talk about death. It's not. But we always discuss about death. When you come into this, when anybody comes into this temple and he hears a Bhagavad Pravachan or a Bhagavad Gita Pravachan, he finds the speaker is invariably talking about death. So why do we talk about death? Because the only thing certain in this material world, in fact there are two things that are certain in this material world, and this was said by one of the presidents of America. So as sure as death, and there is the other thing that is sure is, what's the other thing? Taxes. Yeah. So there are two things which are absolutely sure, that every individual in this, every human being in this world has to go through. He has to pay taxes and he has to die. Right? Yet, we don't want to discuss about death. Although we might say that when somebody tells us, you know, or asks us to make a promise, and then we say, yes, as sure as death. You make a promise to him, as sure as death. But still, is there any realization in our heart that death is sure? Are we making any arrangements in our life to prepare ourselves for death? Very few people actually do it. So, Just like all of us want to be immortal, similarly Hiranyakashipu also wanted to be immortal. So he asked Brahmaji, please give me this benediction that I become immortal. Now Brahmaji, he has a long lifespan compared to us. It's unbelievable the lifespan that Brahmaji enjoys. The scriptures tell us that Brahmaji lives for 311 trillion 40 billion years. Now, 1 trillion means 1,000 billion. And 1 billion is 1,000 million. Right? So that's 311 trillion 40 billion years is the lifespan of Brahma. Right? But still, at the end of that 311 trillion 40 billion years, Brahma also has to die. So, Brahmaji told Hiranyakashipu, I'm sorry my son, I myself am not immortal. I also have to die. So how can I award you immortality? It's not possible. So please ask me for any other benediction. Now Hiranyakashipu thought that he was very smart. Yeah? He thought, okay, if I cannot be immortal, at least let me create some situations whereby I become almost immortal. So then he asked Brahmaji to give him the benediction that he cannot be killed either in day or in night, either inside or outside. He cannot be killed by any demigod. He cannot be killed with any weapons. He cannot be killed by any asuras. He cannot be... He practically asked for everything. And for everything, Brahmaji told him, Tathastu. And then after that, Hiranyakashipu, once he thought that he had now become immortal, nobody could kill him, he terrorized the whole universe. He brought everybody under his control, and it is said that when Hiranyakashipu would just raise his eyebrows, Indra would start trembling. Indra is the king of the demigods. So that is the power of Hiranyakashipu. But finally, when his atrocities became completely intolerable, and he started creating all sorts of situations, unpleasant situations for his son, Prahlad Maharaj, that was the time when the Lord said that I cannot tolerate this anymore. And the Lord manifested himself in front of Hiranyakashipu as a half man, half lion. Just to keep Lord Brahma's benediction intact, he fulfilled Lord Brahma's benediction, yet killed Hiranyakashipu. Right? So similarly, we see from the life of Ravan. Now he also had tremendous powers. And when a person has that much of powers, he naturally becomes arrogant. And we see the same thing in this material world also. People who are having some opulence in terms of wealth, in terms of prestige, in terms of intelligence, they become so arrogant. They think that nobody is superior to me. And finally, it is exactly that same arrogance and pride that brings about their fall. So this we see in the material world also, that a person who tries to present himself in a very arrogant way, finally the situation is created by the Lord himself, where whatever he has is taken away from him, and then after that he becomes completely humble. Just like we see in this just concluded elections, there were so many powerful personalities who thought that they were invincible. Nobody could defeat them. But unfortunately, they are today completely shattered. They realize that they are not invincible. So this is what Srila Prabhupada is talking about here in the purport. When we come to the path of pure devotional service, we actually realize that we are insignificant. that we do not have any ability within ourselves, our intelligence, our opulence in terms of wealth, prestige, everything is coming to us from Krishna. So this realization comes to us when we come to this path of pure devotional service. So approaching Lord Krishna, when we approach Lord Krishna, it is not for any material benedictions. Because we understand that this material benediction, again, temporary. And they are only going to be a cause of our misery. Because all these material benedictions are going to be there for us, with us for a particular point of time. And at some point of time, definitely at the time of death, it's going to be taken away. But before that also, if it is taken away, then we are made so miserable. So a devotee of Lord Krishna understands this basic philosophy that I have to surrender unto Krishna and I am an insignificant living entity. So Srila Prabhupada says over here that in other words, the fruitive workers sacrifice their material possessions for material enjoyment. So everything that they are trying to do is somehow or the other create facilities whereby they can enhance the quality of their material enjoyment. The worship of the demigods is also meant for that particular purpose. Somehow or the other, my dear Lord, please provide me with a situation where I am comfortable in this material world. And also, similarly for the impersonalist, what does he pray for? To merge into the effulgence of the Lord. To merge into the Lord himself. To lose his identity. So that's the prayer of an impersonalist. Srila Prabhupada says over here that an impersonalist, that the prayers of an impersonalist are much higher than that of a fruitive worker. But still, it is not high enough. Only when we come to the path of pure devotional service and we worship the Lord in the mood of Ahaituki Apratihata. When we worship the Lord in a mood of complete surrender, realizing that we are insignificant, at that time the Lord accepts us. And this particular pastime where we have of Amrish Maharaj, who was a pure devotee of the Lord, and how he came across Durvas Muni, who became so insulted just because Amrish Maharaj sipped a little bit of water in order to break his Ekadashi fast. Durvas Muni became completely intoxicated by anger. And then he created a demon in order to kill Amrish Maharaj. And this demon was so terrible, huge in size, black in body. He came rushing towards Amrish Maharaj in order to kill him. And Amrish Maharaj, because he was a Vaishnava, he was completely undisturbed. He was just standing over there meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Lord cannot tolerate when any attack is made on His devotees. So the Lord sent the Sudarshan Chakra, which chopped off the head of this demon and came behind Durvas Muni to chop off his head also. Now Durvas Muni became so afraid that again he started running, just like Bhasmasura. He started running. Then he went to Shiva, he went to Brahma. And finally he went to Vishnu and told Vishnu that please take the Sudarshan Chakra off my back. It's burning my back. So Vishnu told him that I cannot do anything because you have actually insulted my devotee. So the only recourse for you is to go and take shelter of him. So Durvas Muni had come back all the way from Vaikuntha and he fell at the feet of Amrish Maharaj. And this entire process took 1 year, and for this entire period of 1 year, Amrish Maharaj was just standing in his place waiting for Durvas Muni to come back. So this is the quality of a devotee that is absolutely surrendered. And although he was attacked by Durvasmani for no fault of his. Each of us would think, why is it that Ambarish Maharaj had to go through all this suffering? So devotees of the Lord are being sometimes put into situations like this where they have to go through such suffering, but ultimately it's only the Lord, and because they are surrendered to the Lord, because they have their full faith that the Lord is going to take care of them eventually. So then Durvasmani comes and falls at the feet of Ambarish Maharaj and asks for forgiveness. And Ambarish Maharaj, because he's a Vaishnav, he lifts up Durvasmani and tells him, what are you doing, my dear Lord? How can you behave like this? You are so senior to me. And then Durvasmani realizes, what is the glory of a Vaishnav? So Vaishnav is extremely tolerant. Whatever situation comes in his life, he accepts it as the will of the Lord. And as far as being attached to wealth and fame and prestige and all these situations, he prays to the Lord that, my dear Lord, please somehow or the other rid me of all these anarthas. For these anarthas which are deep rooted in our heart, we appeal to the Lord that please, somehow or the other, keep me away from all these temptations, so that we can constantly fix our mind on His lotus feet. And in the age of Kali Yuga, this whole process is very easy. Whereas in other yugas, you have to make so many elaborate arrangements in order to worship the Lord. Big yagyas, you have to construct big temples. But in Kali Yuga, this process is very, very easy. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Yeva Kevalam. Kalov Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anita. Just by chanting the holy names of the Lord, they are able to achieve perfection in this life. So this benediction of Kali Yuga is so easy for us to follow. Just come to the temple of Lord Vishnu, meditate on His golden form, associate with the devotees, chant the holy names, eat Krishna Prasad. Principles are so easy to follow. We don't have to do anything elaborate. Nothing, it doesn't cost us any money to chant the holy names of the Lord. You don't have to do big sacrifices. So this is this benediction, this age of Kali Yuga. Just worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any motivations. Ahaituki, apratihata. And even if you worship the Lord with some motivations, there's no problem. Finally, the Lord will create a situation where He'll cleanse our heart, He'll purify our consciousness. And then we come to the platform of ahaituki, apratihata. That is unmotivated, unconditional service to the Lord. In fact, this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is exactly that. When you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, what is it that we are doing? We are asking the Lord to engage us in His service. A lot of times people who come to our temple, they tell us that we talk about demigod worship, you should not be worshipping demigods. What is Ganapati doing outside your temple? Why are you having Ganapati outside your temple? So then we have to give them the philosophical explanation why we have Ganapati. Ganapati is also a servant of Lord Krishna. And He is the remover of obstacles. Right? So we worship Ganapati as the person who removes the obstacles in our life. So we are not interested in Him removing the obstacles in our material life. Right? Remove our poverty, remove our problems that we are having with our studies, with our children. We do not appeal to Him for those things. To remove the problems that are there in our lives. We appeal to Him to remove the problems that are there in our practice of devotional service. In the impediments that are there in our life, in terms of our devotional service. My dear Ganapati, please allow me to chant my rounds most sincerely. Let me associate with the devotees in a very humble mood, as a servant of the servant of the servant. So these are the prayers that we offer to Lord Ganapati. When we just enter into the temple, we appeal to him that, my dear Lord, please remove the obstacles from my progress on the path of devotional service. Similarly, we can appeal to the demigods to help us in this. But we don't have to visit temples of demigods for this purpose, because everything is there in Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is the reservoir of all the demigods. So by worshipping Lord Krishna, all the demigods are pleased. But as Vaishnavas, we understand that although we do not worship demigods, still we treat them with great respect. Because they are the direct servants of Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu. Right? Want to talk about demigods? A Vaishnava doesn't even harm an ant. Because we understand that the ant is also a living entity, a servant of Lord Krishna. Right? It's got a body of an ant because of its karma. But a demigod is far, far superior to even us. Millions of times superior to us. And they are given responsibilities by Lord Krishna to look after certain parts of the universe. So we have a demigod in charge of air, a demigod in charge of water, a demigod in charge of fire. So all these principal elements, we have got a principal demigod in charge of it. But the scriptures tell us that there are 33 crore demigods. And it will be impossible for us to worship each and every one of them in one lifetime that we have. Right? If we attempt to worship, even if we worship one demigod per day, how many demigods would we be able to reach out to? Right? Any mathematician here? Even if we live for 100 years and we worship one demigod a day, right? So that's what? 36,000 days? There's 36,000 demigods, but there are 33 crore of demigods. So we'll need hundreds of lifetimes in order to worship, or millions of lifetimes in order to worship all the demigods. Right? But just by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, Aham Sarvasya Prabhuvam, Matta Sarvam Pravartate, I am the source of all the demigods, I am the source of everything in this material world. Right? The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita. So why not worship Lord Krishna? And by worshipping Lord Krishna, all the demigods are pleased. Automatically. So that's the secret. The secret to success is to know whom to worship. We don't have to individually worship each and every one of the demigods. We just worship Lord Krishna. And all the demigods are pleased. Are there any questions? Or comments? Yes, bro.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your kind lecture. I want to ask people who have been engaged in worshipping demigods for so many years. So, if they want to engage in Krishna consciousness, should they immediately leave worshipping all other demigods, or what is the process to get engaged? Because someone, if he has been for 20 years or 25 years, so what is the process to immediately jump? He should immediately jump, or should he worship some other way? Or
the process of Krishna consciousness is not a process of sentimentalism. We're not worshipping Lord Krishna out of pure sentiment. Of course, we all, it's also part of the whole process. That sentiments are also involved. But we worship Lord Krishna by understanding the philosophy. And once we understand the philosophy, once we read the pages of the Bhagavad Gita, which is the basis for the Krishna consciousness philosophy, right? Well, Lord Krishna says that I am the source of everything, including the demigods. Worship of the demigods is the worship of me, but in an indirect way. That's also a statement made by the Lord. So through various statements that are made by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita, He makes it known to us that He is supreme. Right? Finally, the concluding words of the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Ishyami Masuchaha. This is the concluding words of the Bhagavad Gita. After narrating everything to Arjuna, Lord Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Right. So what does this mean? So it's a question of faith, and the practice of Krishna consciousness comes by developing this faith, by understanding the scriptures. Understanding Bhagavad Gita, understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, then everything is very clear to us. Right? More often than not, worship of demigods, or even some families, worship of Lord Krishna is out of sentiment, just because, you know, my parents have been doing it, my grandparents have been doing it, my great-grandparents, so many generations have been worshipping this particular deity of the Lord. We are doing it purely as a ritual, without even understanding what is the significance of that demigod. Most people don't even sometimes understand what is the significance of that particular demigod whom they are worshipping. But when we come in contact with devotees of the Lord who are able to explain to us the philosophy, why we worship this particular demigod, why we do not worship him separately from Krishna, right? And by worshipping Lord Krishna, the demigods are pleased. Right? Like if we go to somebody's home and we know that if we make friendship with this particular person in the household, all the members in the family are also automatically pleased. Right? The head of the family, you go to the head of the family and you strike a friendship with that person, then obviously everybody in the family is automatically happy, right? That you're having a relationship with that person. Similarly, when we worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, and have a relationship with Him, all the demigods are automatically pleased. So this is, it's important for us to understand the philosophy and not just be moved by pure sentiment. Any other questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your lecture. My question is, some people worship Guru, means spiritual master, like they say that Krishna was having a spiritual master, and sometimes Krishna was himself a spiritual master. Some people they worship Guru like Paramahansa, Srimad Nigamananda, and some other Gurus, and Shankaracharya Guru. Shankaracharya is known as the Jnani Guru. And some Gurus they say that we have Jnana, Tantra, Prema and Yoga. Four things they have become Guru. So how to appreciate that, and they are worshipping Guru, and is that right? And they says that Guru worship is more higher than worshipping Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because Gurudev is, Krishna was also having Gurudev. Then Gurudev, who is having Jnana, Tantra, Prema and Yoga, and like that this is. And I think that Guru worship is higher than Krishna worship, or please explain and make me understand.
We have to understand that the Guru is a representative of the Lord. And every person has to be connected to a bona fide Guru in order to make tangible spiritual progress towards the goal of life, which is to go home back to Godhead. We have to have a bona fide Guru. So these two words are very important. Having a Guru is one thing, but having a bona fide Guru is something else. Right? So a bona fide Guru is a person who is in a parampara. Right? And this parampara has to be connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So today there are four Vaishnava paramparas that we know of. So any person who is connected to a spiritual master in any one of these four bona fide Vaishnava paramparas has an opportunity to go home back to Godhead. Right? But ultimately we have to understand that it is also, although we might be connected to a bona fide spiritual master, it is also our personal endeavor which is required. Right? We cannot say that just because we are connected to a spiritual master, everything is taken care of in our spiritual life. Right? We also have to do our bit. And our bit is to follow the process of Krishna consciousness. Chanting the holy names, associating with devotees, reading the scriptures, following a regulated lifestyle of purity in Krishna consciousness is a prime requisite for us also to be elevating our consciousness in Krishna consciousness. So we cannot say that just because I have a guru, I'll go home back to Godhead. So that is the connection that our Krishna gives us. If you are connected to a guru, and if you follow the principles of Krishna consciousness strictly, then we have an opportunity to go home back to Godhead. As Lord Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevayam upadekshandite jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina. Mighty Arjuna, you have to approach a bona fide spiritual master and inquire from him submissively and render service to him. Right. These are the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to his disciple Arjuna. Right. So from that we understand that every individual, if he wants to make progress in his Krishna consciousness, he has to have a bona fide guru. And the bona fide guru will teach him the process of Krishna consciousness. Just like how we go into a college and then you have a professor who teaches you how to learn mathematics, how to learn medicine, how to learn architecture. Similarly, the spiritual master will teach you about the science of God. Who is God? How to approach God? How to worship Him? He'll teach you. But we have to inquire submissively. We have to approach Him in a humble state of mind. Right? So these are prime attributes for a disciple. He has to be a humble and submissive person. And the prime requirement for a guru is he has to be in a disciplic chain which is connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if both this are there, then we have an opportunity to go home back to Godhead. So we just have to follow the process of Krishna consciousness. We have to be sincere in our own efforts. And the guru will teach us everything. Is that okay? Any other questions? So thank you very much. Please stay back. There will be kirtan now. Till 9:50, after that 8:50 there will be darshan after that. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.